No one's childhood is like easy breezy. Even like people who are claiming to have no trauma, they have micro trauma. They may not be aware of it. I was drinking alcohol to numb myself, to not feel, because when you feel, that fucking hurts. Could we give this another shot? And are we able to be on the same team in the way that we're both willing and committed and devoted to co-creating a relationship that feels really nourishing for both of us?
But I wouldn't be that man that I'm really proud to be right now.
I feel that.
If I would have had a different childhood, if he would have played a different role.
No one can come at me and tear me apart and get away with it. I'll tell them who I am.
Everybody has fears. Everybody had challenges. Everybody.
Everybody.
Has the fear of not being loved, of not being enough in some other way. Okay, Laura, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I would like to tell the story of how we met, because it tells...
Damn, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember?
I do. There's
like most people layers. in my life, I meet them on Instagram, and I met you on Instagram as well, and it was a really special time in my life. That's why I want to tell the story. I think I had like 500 followers or something, and yeah. I wanted to find a couple of role models who are living the life that I want to live.
Right. Yeah.
And so I went on Instagram and I connected with people, and obviously, you know, veganism and things of that nature, it was like a big part of my life in my life. And so I found your profile.
And I was all about veganism and travel and
stuff like that. And that was what my life was about as well. And I think I was in Sri Lanka, and you were on the Maldives
right
at the time. And I was about to go to the Maldives.
Exactly.
As a backpacker. And I was like, Laura, I'm coming to the Maldives.
Right, you did say that.
I want to meet you. I don't think we... No, I know we didn't meet, but that's how it started. And from there on, I always remember, it's like you treated me like someone... You believed in me from the first time we saw.
That's
something
true.
I really appreciate about you. Because you were... You were living the life I kind of wanted to live.
Yeah.
You were a few steps ahead.
A few steps, yeah.
A lot of steps. But because I just started. But you looked at me and you're like, you were so humble, and at the same time you believed in me.
I did.
And whenever I wanted to know something, you're like, let's go, Axel. We got this.
Really?
And
that,
sounds like me.
I can't remember
And that's something I really appreciate in a friend, when the friend makes you think big. And just believes in you and looks at you and like, you got this.
Yeah, I knew you. Yeah, I mean, I knew that. I felt that with you. I was like, yeah, you got this.
And that is something I want to get into later as well. This confidence, because I don't know if you know, but I think it's pretty unique what you are doing. You know, just standing up for yourself, saying, hey, this is not the life I want to live. And I know your backstory.
Yeah, you know all the deeds, you know it all.
We have so much in common, not just the outfit that we're wearing today,
which is actually,
I don't think you can see it on camera. We have the same t-shirt color, the same, both white pants, gray shoes.
For me, it's
literally the same.
But it's the
and
same.
If you know our stories, it's very similar.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable you feel about talking.
Honestly, I'm an open book.
You're an open book. Oh, so always. Am I. You know, we both grew up with alcoholism surrounding us. We both are Germans who speak English for some weird reason.
Yeah, we love that.
Why do we make our lives harder?
It is so much easier for us.
Is it easier for you now?
Honestly, it is. Like, if I want to express myself, like, English is my go-to. If I want to... Yeah, I don't know, I can speak German fluently, obviously, but for me, like, English is just, my soul is speaking. It's a weird thing. I make it easier for myself by speaking English, weirdly enough.
Quick one. This podcast was edited and produced by Podzilla Media. If you want to start a podcast, or if you want to level up your podcast game, get an equally professional, beautiful podcast production as the one. I think we can be really proud of our podcast production here. Podzilla did a fantastic job editing this podcast, so feel free to click the link down below, and who knows, maybe soon you will have the same podcast editor as I have. Thank you so much for your attention. Click the link below and level up your podcast game.
I don't know why.
Really interesting, because I remember that time when we met, I remember asking myself and asking my friends, should I do it in German? Should I do it in English?
Right.
My German was like, it's my native language, so it's
so is my
kind of easier yeah. to do it. But somehow my heart said, you should do it in English, even
because
though
you reach more people.
I don't.
Was it that for you? For
me, I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe it was. Honestly, it just was a feeling like my heart was like, you want to do it in English. You don't just want to, you know, do it in German. It's easier. Maybe it was because it was a challenge, you know? My English sucked.
Yeah, we're not up for it. No, it actually
it
didn't.
Is. It was. Shut the front.
It was not. Guys, it was not bad.
Like, it was really bad.
It was not bad.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my very old videos and I'll tell you how my English was. You can judge for yourself. It was really bad. But I knew I wanted to do it. And
you fucking killed it, because here you are now. A
couple years later and. Oh my gosh, like if I look at your life, if I look at my life, it's what we accomplished in the last 5 years is pretty freaking amazing if you know
is
where we're in time.
Is it five or six? I'm actually confused. I was thinking about
that. It's 2024, so it was 2017 when I texted you. 2017, so that's when you went to the Maldives and that's when we met.
7 years, yeah. Damn. Yeah, makes sense though. Yeah, I feel like I know you like since 10 years, but it's not been 10 years. I've been vegan for 10 years now. Like my veganversary is coming up very soon in April. But yeah, that makes sense. Like 3 years into veganism, yeah, makes sense. Okay, just like trying to calculate. Like
what do people need to know about your upbringing, about your context to understand Laura, to understand your transformation?
Wow. I mean, as you already said, like we have very similar stories in the way that our childhoods haven't been super comfortable or easy. Anyone like
fucking nightmare,
right? But also I will say that like no one's childhood is like easy breezy. Even like people who are claiming to have no trauma, they have micro trauma, they may not be aware of it. But like no one's life is like perfect being mm-hmm. young, but for us it's definitely been like on the more extreme side, in the sense that we had to grow up and become adults, if you will, at a really young age, and that obviously sucks. Wanting to be a child, wanting to be lighthearted and playful, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure it was similar for you, that you just lost that sense of like lightheartedness and playfulness, because we just had to survive pretty much. Like it sounds extreme, but that's what
it
is.
1,000,000%.
Literally a survival mode. And I always like tell people when I tell my story, and I have like actually a whole episode up on my podcast too, like the very first episode, I talk about my entire life story, and then there I also like share bits and pieces around like what exactly was that traumatized me. But as you said, like I had like literally no relationship to my father for my entire life, like since the moment I was born. Like my mom always kept telling me, like, you always rejected him, and I know why, and I'm not gonna get into that right now, but I know why I rejected my father from the moment I was born. And obviously that is fucking tough, like when you're a young woman, or like even as a child, like you have no male role model, and it shaped me in the way that I was constantly seeking validation, never getting it. Obviously then, not obviously, but like it's very common to then become a high performer, high achiever who wants to prove their worth through achievement, through being really good at school, like being really good at sports, wanting to like nail all the fucking things, because that's when I came home and I actually got a little bit of validation and recognition, appreciation, you know, like love. Ultimately, I wanted love. And so I got that in those small moments. And I was like, yeah, I'll keep doing that. And I did. And it didn't necessarily feel meaningful to me. But what I got from it as a side product was meaningful to me, I guess. Because any child wants to be seen, wants to be, loved.
Yes.
Ultimately loved.
Yeah, everybody wants to be loved.
Right. And so I got that. And still, like, we had a really difficult relationship. And so when he passed in 2019, that was a shock for me, because I never had the chance, if you will, to make up for it, you know, to like to connect with him, to actually get to know him, and him getting to know me and understanding me and why I was the way I was, and why I was like really angry at him. Like I had anger issues. I was like so hurt by him, upset about him. Like I was such an angry child, honestly. I I was just really hurt. Ultimately, I was just feeling like I didn't matter to him. And like, obviously that's a shitty feeling when you have a parent figure and you feel like you don't fucking matter. Mm-hmm. However, like it really forced me to understand that my worthiness never came from my achievements and never had anything to do with my good grades at school or, you know, eventually me like building this business. Cause I had started that and like, he was like, what are you doing? Like everyone was like, what are you doing? And my mom was like, you are fucking nuts. I was like, yes, I am. Let's go.
I
always had my own opinion. Yeah. You're the same.
Okay. You tell me it's a bad idea. So that probably means it's a really good idea.
It's probably
onto something. Yeah. that means I'm onto something.
Right. When you're being called crazy, it just means you got a vision that no one else is going to subscribe to. And that's okay. Cause ideally you don't need that from other people, them cheering you on, them believing in you. I mean, having that is great. And having one to two people, as you said, like that is enough. Like you believing in yourself and having maybe one good friend or one mentor, like just one person who's like, I see you. I see your potential. I can see you play really fucking big. It's like, that's enough.
Well, one podcast. Like, I know there's so many people who are like, I don't have those dreamers, visionaries in my life. Yeah. Okay, you do have a phone. You do have podcasts.
Right.
You have audiobooks.
At your fingertips.
This is even better because you're not talking. When you talk, usually you don't learn
anything. True. You just listen.
You just listen.
You receive.
You receive if you're willing.
You integrate. Exactly. Don't just listen. Integrate. And
I want to go back to your story because my job here is to see patterns of successful people. And one pattern that I see over and over again, not just with others, but also with myself, is usually people who do amazing stuff, they had to overcome
a shit ton of obstacles.
A lot of obstacles. Because of those obstacles, they grew muscle and skills that most people don't grow.
Don't have, yeah.
Those challenging times usually lead to, they build really strong people.
That is true.
I think there's this one saying, I don't know, I'm not sure if I will get right, but tough times create strong, I think it's called strong men, but you know, strong people. Tough times create strong people. Strong people create good times. Good times create weak people. There's this, you know, it's like.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And if I think about it, so many of the people that I get to interview, those were people who had to overcome very hard times.
Yeah.
Very challenging times. And for those of you who are listening, who don't know what it's like to grow up with an alcoholic, as a child, it's a nightmare. Yeah. I'm curious to hear how it was for you. I can just tell you, if I think back, some of my coaching skills are a result of
100%.
Being surrounded by an alcoholic.
100%.
You have to know there is someone coming into the door. You have to get so good at reading the moment.
Reading them, exactly.
In what state are they?
How do you approach them? How do you handle them?
How do you approach them? How do you talk to them? What are they up to?
True.
How they're feeling?
That's true.
Because this could, you know, as a kid, you're like, I want to survive. I don't want to get slaughtered here.
Yeah.
And as a child, it's obviously very, very hard. And you mentioned you become a high performer because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the best questions that you can ask yourself is, whose love did I crave most as a child?
Very true.
And then, second question, what did I have to do to get that love?
Exactly.
And I heard in your answer would be probably your dad's. And who did you have to be? Probably perfect.
Ideally perfect.
Ideally perfect.
Ideally
what perfect. A great goal for a child.
What a great mission to be on as a child, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially when all you want to do is like figure life out, get to know yourself, play, have fun, have friends, have a life, you know? Yeah, for sure. Like you just carry a lot because then you're like, oh, I'm responsible to keep up this image and to like, yeah, like to make them proud and make them happy ultimately, because otherwise, again, you feel like there is no validation, no love left for you. And that feels shit. That honestly gets you into survival mode too, is when you feel like there is no love. Like when all you want as a baby, as a child, is love. Like, that's what you fucking need to feel safe to survive too, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean just because you don't get the love, it doesn't mean you're not surviving, but it feels like it when you're starving from love as a child, it just feels, and your body feels unsafe.
Yeah.
It gets you into fight or flight. And like, that's the state I've been honestly operating in for, and I'm pretty sure for you the same, like for my entire childhood. Like my entire childhood, I was in fight or flight. I was like in go, go, go mode. I could never rest. I was growing up in a place of like very much chaos. It felt chaotic. And so, and it's interesting too, because I talked about that with my mentor this morning, like, when you grow up in a place where there's chaos, your nervous system gets used to that. When your nervous system is used to that, it wants to recreate what's familiar in your future as an adult. And so what I did in the future as an adult was recreating scenarios subconsciously. Of course, it was subconscious. It was not intentional, but it was intentional by my subconscious. Like, I created all these scenarios that just created fucking chaos.
Yeah, we rather feel familiar emotions, even if they're destructive, than new emotions.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's so sad, but it's reality for a lot of people. And this is also where you fuck things up, where, again, you start taking drugs or you start, like, you know, like, I mean, I had a phase in my life when I was a teenager where I was an alcoholic. Like, I think I've never publicly shared that anywhere, to be honest. So here we go. but I had probably like six or nine months. I mean, probably under a year, where I was drinking alcohol to numb myself, to numb myself, to not feel, because when you feel, that fucking hurts. Mm. And it's interesting because I got out of it because I really, really realized how destructive it was, which for a lot of people, like, that's quite hard to, like, kind of catch yourself being like, oh, I'm being, like, I'm sabotaging myself, you know? But I understood it wasn't really getting me anywhere, and I had to sit with the pain. And getting used to sitting with pain is really... is a really underrated skill, I think. Like, being able to sit with pain and discomfort, whether you're losing someone or you're feeling rejected or you're going through a breakup or you're going through a tough time in your career, like career change, or like health-wise, like whatever it is, like, you, I think a really good skill to have is to be able to surrender to discomfort, because that's how you then can pick yourself back up from there and be rational, but also, again, like, be in your body and feel the things that you need to feel rather than repressing and suppressing, because that's what I did all my life.
Or trying to numb it.
Or try to numb it, because that's an easy, quick fix, right? But it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how we got here, to be honest, but...
Alcohol, I know exactly how we got here. Oh, okay. I haven't really... When you said that, you know, your father passed away and there are things that you still want to tell them, I could feel how I was tearing up, and I was like, why am I tearing up?
Because it's relatable.
I think it's painful to...
To face that?
No, to have regret, maybe.
Oh, yeah, regret is shitty. Yeah.
Because, especially, you know, with parents, with caregivers, especially if they maybe didn't do the best job.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they're still your caregivers. It's a really interesting topic. Do you have regret?
Oh, yeah. I had to, after he passed, again, like, first I went into survival, so I was overworking, numbing myself by overworking, drinking a lot of coffee to keep going, to keep working. It sounds funny now, but I was literally the entire year of 2019, because he passed in March, the entire rest of the year I was numbing myself to a point where my body was physically exhausted, like I was running on empty. I had like probably 5 to 6 cups of coffee a day. Like, it was decent. And I was just working, working, working. I was emotionally unavailable, didn't really let anyone close. I had a couple of friends. And then when I went to Cape Town in early 2020, I know I was sitting in this gorgeous, cute little apartment that I was treating myself to, which at that time, like, for me was really special to, like, have a really cute place by myself. And I can remember sitting there in the bed and for the first time really feeling the loss, like feeling loss in my body, like not just like rationally being like, oh yeah, he's passed, I can't speak to him anymore. It was really this feeling of like, it was this huge wave, I can remember this huge wave of like, wait, what? Like, I just realized he had actually passed, he's actually gone, like 9 months later, or like 10 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started to feel things. That I didn't just, like, rationalize them. I didn't just know, yeah, he's, like, gone. And that fucking hurts. But also, like, I felt it for the first time. And then with that emotion of, like, sadness, came anger, came hurt, came guilt, came shame. Guilt and shame in the sense that I obviously was self-reflected enough at that point in my personal development journey to realize, oh, shoot, like I could have done things differently too. I mean, I was a child, so ultimately maybe I couldn't have. But looking back on it, I was like, I would do things differently now. And that feels shitty to know that now I would consciously communicate. I would say how I feel rather than blaming him or making assumptions or making him wrong. Now I can see, oh, he had a really tough childhood. And now I can see why he was the kind of dad that he was for me, right? And seeing someone suddenly and understanding why they maybe didn't do the best job at being a good friend or being a good partner, being a good father figure, like mom, whatever it is. It's just like, it just gives you compassion and it humbles you and it makes you understand like, oh shoot, like I wish I could go back in time and like do things differently. Because the last sentence I said to him, and this is really tough, is I said to him, you'll never see me again. And that was the last thing I said to him. And that was the year before, that was in 2018. I think it was Christmas. We all sat around the table in the house that I grew up in. I hated that house so much. And I remember my brother and I came to visit him and his then new girlfriend at the time. And I told him about my business that I had started, like just started. I had just finished my studies. I'd just gotten out of university, gotten my degree, and I was like, I'm gonna travel the world and I'm gonna build my business. And like he was like, you know, you're gonna build a business, right? And I was upset, and I felt like he didn't see what I had created until that point, which was a personal brand, which was something, you know, it was something, and I was really fucking proud of it and passionate about it. And there was just this lack of interest, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna travel, and you'll never see me again. And like that's literally the last thing that I remember saying to him. And what happened was I left Germany shortly after and I never saw him again. And that is fucking hard, because then you need to forgive yourself for that. And you have to live with that every day. And sorry. And that is painful, you know, because you understand like months later, oh shoot, like I could have said something nicer, you know. I could have had more compassion for him not understanding my business or not understanding me and my life decisions, and maybe not having made an effort until that point to really get to know me, his daughter, as a person, you know, like, but he didn't do that on purpose. So like, yeah, just understanding like someone else and where they're coming from and why they are the way they are is like so helpful. And again, like this then for me was this process of, okay, I gotta forgive myself for that, because there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt for these ugly words I said. Like it sucks. It's super painful, because then it's no longer like, oh, I'm blaming him and he is wrong and he did all the things wrong. It's no longer blaming. It's like, oh, like, but how did I co-create this? Well, I was always rejecting him. I was always shitty to him. I had my reasons for it. Like, I had really good reasons for it. I'm not saying it was not legitimate, but it didn't help the relationship. And if I wanted a good relationship and I would have been more conscious earlier on, I wish I would have done the inner work sooner so I could have at least had a somewhat proper relationship and last conversation with him before he passed. You know what I mean?
Did he at some point make the, like, was he still drinking at that point?
At that point, he, yeah,
it's a yes.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I didn't live with him anymore, so ultimately, but I'm pretty sure that he never stopped. I think it actually, for a while at least, after we left him, which was when I was 16, we moved out, because I was like, mom, like, I can't be in this house with this person anymore. Like, I can't. So we moved out, and I was depressed at that time, and like I got out of depression really fucking fast after after moving out. But I'm pretty sure there was a time where it got even worse, and then I think then he met his new girlfriend and then it got slightly better. But yeah, he was always numbing. Like, he was always, to a certain degree, I'm pretty sure he went through phases. It was worse and then it got better and then it got worse and then it got better. But ultimately,
such a hard, delicate topic, and it reminds me so much of my of my own story. First of all, I want to say credits to you for sitting here and like being so open about it and vulnerable about it, because I know, you know, working as a coach, you think twice, usually, most people.
I don't.
Most coach, you don't. You think twice.
I'm giving you the tea.
You think twice before you say something because you make yourself vulnerable. And there is this perception, I see that all the time with people, that as a coach, you know, you have to be perfect.
Oh, right.
You have to have your shit together. I'm like, wait a minute. It really depends, first of all, what the person is coaching about. If it's a fitness coach, that doesn't mean that the person knows how to, you know, be in a relationship, and, you know, maybe that's part of their life. It doesn't matter.
And
that's not the point.
It makes you human to, like, you know, have that story.
But at the end of the day, the question shouldn't be, is their life perfect? The question is, can they deliver the results? Can they create the results? 100%. And that's the most important thing.
I think
that's what matters.
I want to hire people who walked through the fire and came out strong. Like, those are the people I want to hire, you know?
Yeah, and I usually love it when people tell me about their vulnerability, because then I know they're not full of shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because everybody has fears. Everybody had challenges.
Everybody
has the fear of not being loved, of not being enough in some other way. And I resonate with people who tell me, hey, this was a difficult time in my life. This is how I got out of it.
Exactly.
And there's so many, like, I remember it was so important in my personal growth journey to listen to podcasts and learn about boundaries and learn about how it was for others.
Oh, yeah.
To grow up with an alcoholic in your house. Nobody talks about those things.
Nobody talks
about
this. But
this is impacting your life, your relationships, everything. So might as well talk about it. And I appreciate it so much that you do. And I want to know, since you're sitting in front of someone who has a similar story and my dad is still alive, is there a suggestion? So I'm not speaking to him. Mm-hmm. I made a boundary in my life, or like I made a decision in my life that it's better not.
Mm-hmm.
I think I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a suggestion that you would like to make,
mm-hmm,
for maybe not me, not just me, but also people who are listening, who have maybe a difficult relationship with their parents? And then maybe I'll share one thing that really helped me transform that relationship. But is there something you, based on your story, that you want to share?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, if I could turn time back, I would do things differently.
What would you do differently?
But the consciousness and awareness that I have now, and also the compassionate understanding I now have for him, because I know about his childhood. Like, he'd never really told me anything, but I know from my mom. And so I have a clear understanding of, like, how he grew up and, like, how his childhood was really, 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 really challenging for him as well. And it explains a lot about how he showed up in relation to me as his daughter. And so having that understanding and that empathy and that compassion now, I would honestly just communicate in a way that is very, very, very nonviolent, meaning I would not blame, because I used to always blame him. I used to always make him wrong, always blame him. And sure, there was, I had a point. What I was saying to him, what he did or said, was true. And also, I kind of took it out of context and kind of, I didn't consider his past. I didn't consider him not being in the personal development space and not, you know, reflecting on himself. Like, he didn't do that, like, by fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the awareness now, I would, like, very much approach him and be like, hey, I understand we have a difficult relationship, and I understand that I did things in the past that hurt you and vice versa. And I think none of us is in the wrong or in the right. It just is what it is, and it was what it was. And I would so appreciate if we could have a somewhat neutral relationship moving forward, in the way that we just share with each other what's happening in our lives. And, like, whatever you want the relationship to look like, right? But, like, for me and him, for instance, if he was still alive, I would love to hear how his love life goes. Like, if he's happy in his relationship with his new girlfriend, I'd love to tell him, like, what I'm learning, what I'm experiencing in my life. Like, just neutrally. And there's no expectation. If there's ever something happening again where I have to put a boundary again, or maybe go no contact for a couple of days or weeks again because it triggered me, or it hurt me, or he was triggered, or he was whatever, then that's fine too. But I guess just really be open to see, could we give this another shot, and are we able to be on the same team in the way that we're both willing and committed and devoted to co-creating a relationship that feels really nourishing for both of us. And again, there's no expectations. It doesn't have to be a certain way. Like, if one of us feels hurt, or, I mean, just like communicating expectations, like, hey, how often would you like to be in touch? Like, would you like to text message, or should we hop on a call once or twice a week, or every 2 weeks, or once a month, or who knows, right? Like, just giving the invitation, hey, I'm open to connect, because ultimately you're my caretaker, like you're my father, like my mother, whoever it is. And I care about having some sort of relationship with you, and let's define what that could look like in a way that feels good for both of us. And then they can share how they would imagine the ideal relationship to go, and like what that could look like, and to which degree you connect, and how openly you share things. And just like giving them this invitation, the space to express what they would want and need and expect. And then you can kind of like see how, where you can meet in the middle and work things out from there. And I think it's definitely going to be like a process. Like if we were in touch and I would then start making assumptions or have expectations that I maybe didn't even communicate, you know, like, oh, you didn't text me all week, even though we said we would text every 2 weeks. You know, like, obviously then you got to manage your human and your emotions and understand your triggers and communicate your triggers. Like, hey, please don't do this because it makes me feel this way and I don't want to feel this way towards you. Like, I don't want to feel resentment, or I don't want to feel angry, or I don't want to feel misunderstood. Please do this to help me feel more understood or seen or heard by you. And also communicating your, not just your expectations, but also your boundaries. Like, hey, I have a boundary around you telling me to do things this way, even though I'm like a grown-up human and I know how I want to do things. Like, don't tell me. Like, I know you have a tendency to do that. I don't appreciate that. Please don't do that moving forward. You know, like, communicating boundaries like that, expectations, setting standards for what that could look like, and just letting it, I guess, naturally, organically evolve from there, because you can't really foresee how it's going to go. But I think, like, setting the frame in a way really, really helps. So that's what I would do.
Let me unpack that. Couple of words that some people will hear for the first time in their lives. I think, maybe.
Who knows?
Am I saying my community is stupid? No.
I just
remember, honestly, I was 18 years old. That was the first time I heard the word boundary.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to unpack a couple of things. Before that, I want to blame your father.
Yeah, I don't want to blame him.
I want to blame him for this amazing daughter he has created. You wouldn't be the person that you are now, that woman with so much freaking energy.
Very much.
If he would have played a different role. He played the role he had to play.
That is true.
And that was I remember that moment in my life when I didn't blame my father, not just for the bad things, but also for the good things.
Yeah, we got to start doing that with any relationship, right?
Yeah. I remember looking at my childhood and seeing and understanding, oh my gosh, the whole time I blamed him for all the bad things. Amazing. Fair.
Fair enough.
But I wouldn't be that man that I'm really proud to be right now.
I feel that.
If I would have had a different childhood, if he would have played a different role.
That is true.
So thank you for all of those challenges. Thank you for... There are also some things that I learned from my father, and I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. Like my work ethic.
Oh, yeah, damn.
My discipline.
Being stubborn, love that for me.
Well, I don't know if that's always a good thing.
No, but in a
healthy
way.
But there is some, like, this... In my world, for example... I'm so hardworking because of that, because of my childhood, because of the values.
100%.
I'm kind and humble most times.
You
because,
are.
Because of him. Like, I have to give him credits for that.
Yeah.
And even for all of the shit, like, I wouldn't be that man and I'm proud to be right now. And I think it's the same in your situation.
100%.
And maybe they had to play that role.
100%. Because otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. We wouldn't be having this level of impact if it wasn't for having gone through the fire and having come out of it stronger. Like, 100%. Like, And honestly, it's funny too, because yeah, like his behavior obviously got me to my knees and broke me down, but also like just watching, like my, you know what's funny? My mom always said to me, oh, Laura, you're very much like him. She always said that to me when I was, no, and I was furious. I was like, what the fuck do you even mean? I'm not like him. I was fucking mad at her for saying that. Every single time she said it, it triggered me to my core. And here's the thing. Now looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, I very much have a lot of qualities from him. I am stubborn in a good way, in the way that I said stubborn, but that's probably the wrong word. I very much know who I am and what I want from life. And he was like that. He was like, my way or no way. Like, my way or the highway, is that how you say it? Like, it's kind of like, yeah, I want things to go my way. And this is why I have this entrepreneurial, self-employed mindset of like, I'm not going to sit in a fucking 9-to-5 job and have people tell me what to do. I'm not having it. And that attitude, I have thanks to him. Like, my mom was not like that. And he obviously never said to me, oh, Laura, this is a good mindset to have. This is a great attitude to have. But he embodied it, and I was watching it as a child. And I was like, I fucking don't like this, but also I do like it. I actually like it. Like, I want to be like that. I want to have this energy of, like, no one can fuck with me in the way that no one can come at me and tear me apart and get away with it. I'll tell them who I am. I'll tell them, I'll show them that their opinion of me, their projections, it doesn't define me. And he was very much like that. Like, he was very, very confident about himself. I mean, again, there were a lot of things he shouldn't have been so confident about. But also, like, right? Like, there's always layers and levels to it. But, like, in the way that he got his own back. He got a backbone. And I like that.
I have a uncomfortable task for everybody here, and I'm going to do the same thing. I did this already multiple times. Pick someone who causes pain if you think about that person. And then, maybe for the first time in your life, don't just blame them for all the bad things. Blame them for the good things too.
Yeah.
That is not easy.
That is not
but
either.
I can tell you, it is so healing.
It is healing.
So beautiful.
That is true.
And it's fair.
Yeah.
This could be your parent. This could be your ex-partner. I remember doing this exact thing. I was at an event. Tony Robbins,
oh,
standing there.
Oh, you told me about that. Yeah,
and he was like, call someone that needs to hear about the good things too.
Yeah.
Call someone you need to forgive.
Yeah.
Send that person a message. I'm like, you son of a gun, Tony Robbins.
Right.
So I called my ex-partner and I told her, hey, listen. And I blamed her. Like, when things ended, I blamed her for sure. Like, I was hurt. I didn't like how things ended.
And
I was in this victim role of like, hey, this could have been done nicer and you didn't do this and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. Like, I stacked all the things she didn't do well.
Which makes sense, right?
Yes. It also made me feel like shit whenever I thought about her. And that, obviously, everybody asked me about her. So every single time when I heard her name, I was like, okay.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I took my phone out. I called her. And I blamed her not just for all of the bad things, but I blamed her for all of the good things. And I could have gone for 7 days straight.
True.
And I felt so much love. And like, I realized,
goosebumps right now.
What a beautiful person you are.
Yeah.
And I said the most freeing thing I could have said. Thank you for having the courage to break up.
Right.
You did the right thing.
Right.
I would have not had, I would have probably not have the courage. Thank you. Like, literally, I said that. And I felt how my whole body could all of a sudden relax. It's painful still.
Yeah.
But it was the right call and you did it. Maybe not in the nicest way possible, but you did the right thing. And it felt so empowering, and our whole dynamic changes. And now if I talk about Mari or someone tells me, like, ask about her, like, there's no resentment. There's love.
Love that.
Can't say, like, I could say, You can always say something. You can always criticize something. There's always something bad about that person.
With anyone.
With anyone.
Anyone, really.
If you think about yourself, are you perfect?
No.
Like, probably if you look at yourself, there's some shit that you could...
I could tear myself apart, 100%.
Exactly. And you can tear other people apart as well. But Easy. Is that fair?
Does that make anything better?
And I guess it's this fine balance. I just think it's fair to... Back to the task that I have for you guys, listening, watching, pick someone and tell them all about the good things as well. Yeah. Especially if you blame them right now, puts you into an empowering state.
Mm.
And that's the other person will love that. Usually they also will drop their weapons.
True.
And they will. All of a sudden, they doesn't matter whether they do or not. Often they do.
Often they do, yeah. They just mirror you, right? Like how you're approaching them is how they're approaching you back. And it's beautiful because it's, as you said, it's healing for them to actually be acknowledged for once, you know, and not blamed. And it's healing for you because you realize, oh, shoot, like this person added so much value to my life. I mean, you guys have been together for how long? Like 2, 3, 4 years?
3 years.
3 years, yeah, similar for us. So like that person likely added a lot of fucking value to your life, right? Made you very happy in a lot of moments. You shared beautiful moments together. Like for me and my ex, like we had the most incredible, beautiful moments together. And I'll forever be grateful because he was my first like serious relationship. Like I never had a relationship before him. So he fucking did something right, you know? Like even just like winning me over, I'm like, damn, you did well. Because I was not easy to deal with in the beginning. Absolutely not. I'm happy to... you know, be very open about that. Like, I was not the best girlfriend in the beginning because I was emotionally still very much unavailable. And he had a lot of shit to, like, handle in the first couple of months. So I'm just like, whoa, like, I still, like, very much, like, family love my ex. I love him as family. Like, I love my brother. Like, I love my mom. Like, I love these people. I would do anything for them. And I would do anything for him anytime. And I think this is beautiful because then you don't look at them. I mean, I had a lot of things that I didn't get in the relationship. I had a lot of unmet needs. I had a lot of, in the beginning too, like a lot of hurt and resentment and just like, just being really fucking heartbroken. Even though I was the one breaking up with him, I was heartbroken. Like my own heart broke when I said the words that I knew I had to say for a really long time already. And
oh, it's so beautiful that you say that because it's also not easy for the other side.
No.
Like it's,
no, it's not.
It's not people easy to break up. People think it's like, oh, the you got easy for them. No,
no,
not easy for them.
No, it's not. Especially when there's still so much love. Like, I had so much love for him. Like, I didn't think I could do it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I was like, I can't do it. I feel like this is not working. We're not as compatible as we should be in a partnership. Like, it's not enough for a partnership for me. And I can't get myself to do it because I have so much love for him. And doing this, like, I was crying. Like, I was crying like there was no tomorrow that day. Like, he was holding me while I was breaking up with him, you know?
Mm.
He was holding me because I was heartbroken in that moment. And it's like, yeah, you break your own fucking heart. You 100% do. If there's still love, if it's not because you don't love that person anymore, damn.
It's hard. It's delicate.
It's super delicate. And it's also beautiful because you, as you said, you set yourself free, you set the other person free, you acknowledge all the beautiful things you shared. You also acknowledge all the things that you couldn't give them, they couldn't give you. And it's like there's then no more resentment. It's like, okay, I forgive you for not having been that partner I would have needed. And that's okay. Like, that is life. It's normal. Like, it happens all the fucking time. But again, nobody talks about it. It's, like, such a taboo topic. Like, oh, why did you guys break up? Like,
I think the more, like, the instant reaction or, like, that's when I didn't talk much about it. We decided to
keep it low-key for a bit.
Well, we pretty quickly said, let's not make this a public breakup. Just out of respect. And there was, like... Under no circumstances I'm going to say anything bad about her, especially not publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's too much respect. We went through like hard times together and we'd be just
that.
Not... I also just personally, honestly, if I tell someone I love you, whether we break up or not, this is not something just temporary. Like if she would call me now and she would need my help, I'd be there.
Exactly.
And I'd probably do that for every single ex-partner.
Probably, yeah.
I don't sign up to this whole idea of like, oh, just because it's your ex, you can't talk anymore.
Oh my gosh! You can't have, let's talk about that, because
you can't have a relationship. Like, you have to delete their numbers. You have to.
Oh my God! Say
delete all of the pictures, and you can't talk because then think blah blah blah. No.
I feel so strongly about this too.
No, like, I want to hear about you. Whether
damn.
I moved on. I actually just ended things with someone else yesterday. That's a whole different story.
That is a whole yummy story.
That's a whole different story. But I want to know about you. I want to know how your life is going. I want to know if I can support you.
Yeah.
I want to know how you are. Of course I want to know.
I feel that.
And I'll never, whether you break up or someone else breaks up with you, no relationship was ever a waste of time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because people are like that,
you
right?
You grew. Yeah. You learned together.
You healed together.
Oh my gosh, it would be just not true to say like it was a waste of time. Yeah. It wasn't a waste of time.
It's never a waste
of
time.
You learned, and that will make you ready for something else.
Something
like
better,
all the, if I look back at my past relationships, every single relationship made me learn something, made me become a better person.
100%.
It'd be just not true to say like, hey, that was a waste of time. No, it wasn't a waste of time.
This is disrespectful towards the choice you made in the past to be with that person, and it's also disrespectful towards them, because it's like, you wasted your time spent on that person. Fuck no, because you chose that. You chose that person.
It's also just, A, it's not true. B, it's disempowering.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
also, if you had a business and something failed, no, you didn't waste your time. You learned something. You grew. That's what it's about.
Yeah. That is so, so true. And I love how you said, like fuck the idea that you can't be, like, friends with your ex or that you can't care about them. I see it the same way. I got actually, for the first time, no, not the first time, like, maybe the second or third time, being, like, a public figure in that way that I'm sharing my life online, I'm very open about it. Like, I got a little bit of, like, not hate, but, like, backlash in the sense that people were, like, oh, but, like, that's not a real breakup then. Like, you guys are still hanging out. Because, like, duh, we have, like, dogs in a house together. Like, obviously, we, like, are still in touch talking. And also, we're friends. Like, we are getting along so well. Like, as you said, I want to hear, like, how he is doing. I want to see how I can support him. We very much do that all the time still. And I fucking love that for us. And so, I so disagree with the idea that you have to do. I mean, there's context matters, right? As with anything.
Yes.
So, like, if you had a fucking toxic relationship where
someone abused you, yeah,
right, then fair enough. Like, have your boundaries, you know, block them, whatever needs to be done, do that to honor yourself. But if that didn't happen and you generally still care, I don't see a single reason why you can't care for them anymore. I mean, I see the reason that you want to, like, maybe take a step back, maybe not be in touch as much to, like, regulate your emotions.
Yeah.
I see that. Like, there was a point to that. And that's why we also, like, for us it was really beautiful, actually, because we gradually decreased contact. Like, it was still very much, like, calling every single day for the first 1 or 2 weeks. And then it got a little bit less, and we both got a little bit, like, you know, like, focusing more. Like, it was, like, we were easing out a little bit. And that was beautiful for us because it really, really worked well. And it helped us both to integrate, you know, to, like, not go, oh, like, hard cut, no contact from one day to the other, because for me personally, I have a lot of feelings. I feel a lot very intensely. I have ADHD. I feel a lot of things, like, very strongly. And he said the same thing. He was like, I couldn't have done that. Like, it would have felt like literally like you die. You're like, it's just too extreme. But, like, easing it out a little bit for us worked so damn well, because we were in touch every day, and then eventually every other day, and then eventually every 3 days. Like, it organically happened, and now we're in a place where we're emotionally so regulated, and we can be friends now, like, after 2 months. And I mean, sure, like, there's still certain moments when the wave hits you, and you're like, oh shit, I'm grieving. Not necessarily what we had, but also what we could have had, you know? And that hurts sometimes, at least even more, being like, oh, if, you know, he would have been different, or if I would have done things different, like, it would have, like, maybe worked out. Like, that's pretty normal, I think. But, like, giving yourself that time and, like, really feeling into what works for you. Maybe for you the hard cut works. Maybe for you the easing out works. Like, I think there is no one rule that fits every single ending of a relationship. It's like, no, it's up to you to figure that out with that person and to put boundaries in place and to communicate, hey, this is how I envision us to go about this if we still want to be in touch, which for us and for you guys was the case, right? I don't know how you did this, but for us, we were like easing it out.
I'd be also a hypocrite to say like everything was beautiful and rainbow and butterflies. We had some conversations where I'm like, what is happening here?
Right.
What the fuck? When did this happen? But it's a delicate topic. It's painful.
Yeah.
And it's also like for both sides, it's never easy.
It still isn't easy. I'm sitting
But I would
here.
Say like my last breakup was the most beautiful breakup I ever had.
Love that for you.
Because we have peace. We had so many amazing conversations. Like we imagine hosting a retreat with your ex-partner.
No problem.
Well,
but it takes a lot to get to that point.
I wouldn't say I would. Like for me, it was not no problem. It was.
Wait, when was that though?
Shortly afterwards, couple months afterwards.
Oh well, but that's fair enough. Yeah.
That's not easy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like it was a couple of months later, and it was not like because you guys are. Like,
not. It was not easy, but it was a beautiful healing journey because I had to put my ego aside.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not doing those retreats for myself. Anyways, it's about other people.
And the mission.
So
yeah.
I just show up and serve and that's it.
Can I ask what made it hard for you? I mean there's probably a couple of things, but like what made it the hardest?
Spending time in the same roles but not being there as romantic partners.
That makes so much sense to me, yeah.
And also back then we didn't communicate it.
Oh, okay.
So because it was still relatively fresh.
Okay, and people didn't even... Okay, got you. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think everybody still thought we're together, but we were like, does that matter? It's not about us. Like, people don't come there because they want to see a perfect couple.
Right.
They come there because of the value they get and we can deliver that value.
True.
And that's it. And that's the most important thing.
I get that. Yeah, for me now, it wouldn't be a problem, but I see why when you feel like you have to still act like you are a couple and there's maybe still certain things unsaid. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. No, like now we are at a different space. Now I have this. I look at her and I see all the good things. I made a deal with myself. Like, I want to remember her for all the good things that she did.
That's
she did
great.
Some fucking amazing things. She's like one of the best people I know. Like,
right.
Hands down, one of the most amazing human beings I know. And that's what I want to focus on, not on the things that I did wrong, that she did wrong, you know, because I also did things. I also fucked things up.
Of course.
The other person made some mistakes, but probably you made some mistakes as well.
100%.
And just putting yourself into this blaming state is you give away all your power and it's just not empowering. You feel like crap. That's not just in a relationship but also in life. What's wrong is always available. You can always find something that's miserable, that's bad, that's not going well. What's right is also always available. If you focus the whole time on what's missing and what's bad, you feel like crap.
Yeah, like mindset, baby.
If you focus on all the good things, you feel obviously better. And the same in relationships.
True.
I feel so much better and so much more at peace and focusing on all the most beautiful things. I have a really good question. Wait for this one. What is the most beautiful thing your ex-partner did for you?
Honestly, there's so many things to it, but I do want to say being so damn patient with me at the start when I was really unlovable in the way that, I mean, I was obviously lovable, but I acted in a very unlovable way a lot of times because, as I mentioned before, I was still, like, entering this relationship, still emotionally unavailable. He had to break all my fucking walls down. Like, that was a fucking job, you know? I don't know how he did this. He was just so patient and understanding and... That's why he won me over, honestly, is because he was one of the very, very few guys that actually was like, I see that you're so afraid of getting hurt and I'm willing to be here and be patient with you. And I'm willing to take your shit if you're getting triggered or if you're like still, you know, working through trauma from like the things from your dad and like whatever it is, like I'm here and I'm willing to go through this with you because I know beyond that there's a beautiful relationship waiting for us. And he was right, and he was very right. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to handle my shit for honestly months and months in the beginning, because I was still getting used to, oh, like I'm letting my emotional walls down and like I'm really opening up to someone and I'm giving them space in my life, because until that point I had been hyper independent, traveling the world solo, building a business by myself, living by myself, being by myself, doing as I please, being a Sagittarius baby.
You sound like the girl I just dated.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, that was me back then, right? And he saw all of that and he was like, I'm still willing to see where this could go. And then
wow.
And I'm like, whoa, like that is, looking back on it now, I'm like he took a lot of shit. He took a lot of shit because he saw my potential as a partner. And fair enough, because I became a really good partner eventually. But in the beginning, I did not make it easy for him. I did not make it easy for him at all. And he helped me through it all because he saw me in my essence, like being a really fucking loving human that's overflowing with love. Like, so much love to give. But back then, like, I had all my walls up. Like, he could not really reach me, but he saw right through that and he saw me. And to me, that's fucking mind blowing. Like, that is unconditional love. That is so selfless. And still to this day, I'm like, whoa, like I can see why he won me over. I can see why, because it was so special and still is so special to me. And I still so appreciate how he did that, because it's not easy to hold someone who's hyper independent and emotionally unavailable, having their guards up, wanting to make all of their own choice. Like, I was like in my boss babe bitch era, and like, I mean, honestly, I see why people are in that era, but also like now being my soft girl era, I'm like, damn, I love that for me, because I love myself so much more now. Not that I didn't deserve love back then, but I made it really hard for people to love me, especially men, because I was unapproachable. And so I have so much respect for him having sticking with me through that shit, and vice versa. Like, then shortly after, when he quit his job and he was going through like a lot of struggles, I was so there for him. Like, it was very beautiful. But like, initially, he had no reason to keep choosing, keep claiming, keep chasing me when I made it so damn hard for him, right? Like, he had no guarantee that I would ever become that person that I eventually became for him. He had no guarantee for that. Mm-hmm. He signed up for it not knowing what he would get. He saw the potential, but he didn't know ultimately. And so I'm like, wow, like, that is huge. Like, you fucking quit your job, gave up your apartment, your entire life in Germany, your family, your friends, and you moved to the other side of the world with me because I was like, I want to do that, and I love you, and like, you can join me or you cannot, and then that's fine too, and then we won't be a couple. And he fucking did all of this, and I'm like, you really love me. That is
such a beautiful skill. Beautiful. It's commitment.
It was real commitment. He showed me what love is. He taught me what real love is, and for that I'll forever be grateful. Forever.
I love this. Sounds like he's a bit of a romantic.
Well, in the beginning he was. Eventually that became
no, but just but that's okay. Just the move of, you know, I want this woman, I'm gonna move to the other side of the world.
Exactly.
I'm gonna make it work. I loved. I don't know. Maybe if someone,
he was a little bit Delulu, and I love that for him because it gave us a really great time. Like, yeah, he was delusional, but in the best way.
I won't say the name because I think it was shared publicly before. It doesn't matter, the name. Okay. The name doesn't matter, but that person we met, and we met, and she had to be in a different country a couple of weeks later. She had to be in Vietnam a month later. We met, and so she went home. She had 1 week. We fell in love. Like, really, this, like, you know that butterfly feeling in love?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I can't get enough of you. That kind of love.
Yeah.
So she's flying home. She has 1 week. She's like, you know what? I know after this, I'm going to be busy for months traveling. It will be really difficult to see each other.
Yeah.
For that 1 week, I'm just going to come see you. And that person spent almost all of her money at that time just to see me for 5 days. And I was like,
aww.
What?
Cute as fuck.
And she didn't even tell me. She told me like 3 or 4 months later.
Oh.
She's like, remember that? I'm like, yeah, that's what happened. I was like, wow. I mean, I knew it's like, oh, she only would come for a week. Then the pandemic hit and all of it changed. But it was like one of the most beautiful things I've ever done. And that's the kind of, I believe that there is this waiting for me, even like, but an even better version, like a better connection. Not a, I don't know if there's a better person, but you know, who am I to judge?
More
anyways,
compatibility.
But like,
yeah.
More compatible. Mm. And it's
different. Damn.
Like, I'm also just a bit older now and I understand a couple things better, I think, I hope. But it made me, that is such a green flag for me.
True.
On social media, everybody's talking about red flags. I want to talk about green flags.
Yeah.
You're both wearing green shirts.
We're green flags today.
That commitment.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Saying, I want you. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure it out. With all of the work and all of the busy schedules, I want you. I'm going to make it work. That's a green flag for you, for me. What are green flags for you, if you would have to?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm with you. Commitment is a huge one. And with that, really not just commitment, because what she, for instance, showed you was decisiveness. She was just so sure of you. She was certain of you. She was certain of you guys together. And to me, that is a major green flag, is certainty from the start, not playing games, not being like, I don't know. Like, especially me as a woman, like, I want a man, like most women, I guess, want a man who's very certain, very decisive, very much like, I'm claiming you, I'm choosing you, I'm chasing you, I'm all over you. Like,
I want you.
Right. Like, that is just so fucking sexy. Damn, like, you can't tell me otherwise. It's just, what do you mean?
Clarity is sexy. I like that.
Clarity is fucking sexy, because then there's no playing games. There is no hiding, pretending, like that.
Oh,
that's,
yes,
bullshit. Like, ew. Like, if you ever think you need to play games to get someone or to like have a good relationship, like, they're not your. If you feel like you have to change who you are, you have to try to be someone you're not. To me, that's the biggest red flag ever. Like, if someone is not playing games, they're so real, so honest from the start.
And that's how. That is difficult.
And that is fucking difficult.
If you're in that. I had my friends telling me, I have the most amazing friends, and they usually tell me, hey, Axel, I had that conversation yesterday. Listen, you deserve someone who is as committed as you are.
100%. 100%. It has to go both ways.
If the person is not available,
yeah,
the person is not available.
100%.
True. I forgot, and I think many people forget.
Yeah, it's easy to forget. Mm-hmm.
What it actually can be like, and or people who have never been in a relationship have never met a man who can be that, like, I want you.
Yeah.
If you've never met anybody who is not playing games, you're like, all of a sudden, like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
If you've never felt real love,
right,
you're like, wow, what is this? And you get uncomfortable, and some people start self-sabotaging that.
100%, because it's so uncomfortable. That was me, right? That was literally me in the beginning of my ex relationship. That was literally me. I was so uncomfortable. It was freaking me out. Like, he was so certain of me. He was claiming me. He was loving me. And I was like, you know, like, and I really, really had to face that discomfort of like, wait, that's actually really healthy. Like, I like that. But it freaks me the fuck out. And like, healing that part of you that freaks the fuck out, like, that is key. So I love that. Yeah, like, you, as you said, like, commitment, it has to be mutual, because otherwise, what kind of dynamic is that? Sure, I'm a huge fan as a woman of the man claiming you, choosing you, chasing you a little bit, like going the extra mile, you know, that's sexy. But also, commitment wise, she should know too that she fucking wants you. Otherwise, what is this, right? And so I'm so with that friend, whoever it was, who said that, because yeah, like, you want, like, it should be both sided, it should be mutual. And also another green flag, because you asked, I guess, is consistency. Like, someone not letting you hang in the sense that you're like, they're not texting for a couple of days, you don't know where you are at, maybe you went on a couple of dates, but you're kind of like, where are we, you know? Like, someone who's just so consistent in showing up for you, planning dates, asking you out. I'm not saying as a woman you should be passive and like never be proactive, definitely not. you should be gently initiating, like being sexy about it. Like, I don't think you should be the one who's like constantly making the plans, because I personally believe in polarity, and I think it's really beautiful when a man is in his healthy masculine and is planning the dates and is making the effort. I personally really like that. Every woman's different, I guess, but that's just how I operate. However, I think it's very important that both people are very much consistent in the way that you know where I'm at with you, I know where you're at with me, we both know where we're at, like we're on the same page ideally. Because if one person is like 10 steps ahead and one is like somewhere else, it's really difficult. So like consistency in showing up for each other and expressing interest. I guess someone who also like fairly early on introduces you to their friend group. I think for me, if I do that, that's a fucking big deal, because my girlfriends are like my family. And so when I'm like, hey, I want you to meet this person that really matters a lot, like for my girlfriends, like naturally they'll be like, oh yeah, like that's a big deal for Laura, because like you don't do that with just anyone. And so I think that's a really green flag too. Of course, if it's like on the first date, that can feel like a lot, but I think after a couple of dates, it's like really, really like a good sign, I guess. If someone's serious about you, they'll introduce you to their people like sooner or later, right? Depending on what they're comfortable with. So that's another green flag. And then honestly, communication skills. Like I can't stress that enough. How important it is that someone is able to communicate properly. And again, when I say properly, I mean non-violently, meaning not being blamey, not like playing the victim, but like being very conscious of like how they're speaking with you, how they're approaching you. And also just like very self-aware. Like self-awareness is the biggest green flag for me, because if someone's self-aware, they understand themselves. It just goes to show they're very secure in themselves. They're confident. Confidence is a green flag, because clearly that person knows themselves, because you can't be confident if you don't know yourself, right? And so like having self-awareness is another green flag, where you can see like even like how someone speaks about their ex-partner. Well, we just talked about that, right? Like, it's a huge green flag if someone can say positive things about that person rather than being in blamey mode and being like, oh yeah, that person fucked it up, and like, oh, my ex, fuck them. It's like, ew. If a guy would talk about their ex, I would be like, I'm gone. Like,
I like that. I sometimes wonder, like, where's your self-responsibility?
Exactly. That's why you're wondering.
Did like someone force you into that relationship?
Right. Someone force you to
I remember that I had a conversation in a train with someone, and for like 20 minutes, he spoke about his ex-wife.
Wow.
And like complaining. And I'm like, mate, just out of curiosity, who married that woman? Who forced you to stay for such a long time?
Right. It's ridiculous, right? It's almost like you're like, whoa, like, do you realize that you co-created the whole fucking dynamic?
It was not just them. What is your role?
Exactly. What was the role you played?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't ask them that. And again, that ties into the self-awareness that I before said is a green flag, because someone's self-aware, they all know that they did their part too. They co-created the scenario, the dynamic, the, you know, if it was toxic, like if they didn't like actively do something, at least they allowed it. And then it's like, well, you didn't have boundaries then. Like, be self-aware. Like, be self-aware. See your part. Like, take ownership. Right? That's important for me. So someone who's self-aware and, again, doesn't, like, talk shit about their... Because, like, sure, you can be hurt and you can express, oh, I'm still so hurt by my... Like, that's fair enough, right? But also, like, then, like, again, what was the part you played? And can you still see, as we just talked about, like, can you see all the beautiful things they brought into your life? Which they likely have, because otherwise you wouldn't have stayed so long. And so, yeah, consistency is huge, decisiveness... commitment, being very loyal, being very honest, showing you who they are, like, from the very get-go. Like, one thing that I really liked about how I approached dating my ex, and I didn't like a lot of things that I did in the beginning, I'm gonna be honest here, but one thing that I did like was how honest I was with him. I was like, you know what, I feel very scared, and this is really new to me, and I have a desire to run away right now, like I literally said that. And it freaks me out a little bit because I've never let anyone emotionally close to me, even physically close, there wasn't like a lot, but like emotionally, even less so. So he knew what he was getting himself into, probably not to the degree, but he definitely knew, oh, like she's very honest about where she's at. She's not really into like wanting a relationship right now. Like, fun fact, this is the tea. Like, he asked me, I think, twice, and I said no. Like, I don't want to be your girlfriend. I don't want to be your girlfriend. And then the third time, I was like, I really do like you, and this, again, feels still so new and scary to me, but I'm willing to give this a shot.
Oh, props to him.
Props to him. That's why I said to you before when you asked.
I would have not asked once.
Right.
If I have the feeling you don't want me.
And fair enough. Like, that's a boundary for you. For him, it was like, well, I see why she's saying no, and I really want her, so I'll be fucking consistent. Again, consistency. And I'll claim her. And if that means I have to put my ego aside, I will. Like, that's what he did. And I fucking admire that looking back on it. And I'm like, whoa, like, he just knew he wanted me. And that, to me, is so sexy that, again, like,
good for him.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of courage.
That takes a lot of courage. I'm telling you.
After Mari, I'm like, I'm never going to talk about my dating life again. And here I am talking about my dating life.
Here we are.
But I think this could bring value or like to the conversation. So yesterday, for example, I ended a connection and I love that person. I had those, you know, butterflies again. Which is beautiful in itself to have that again. It was like, I want someone who is committed and available.
Oh, she wasn't.
I'm not going to talk about her.
Sure.
I was like, the next time I'm going to put a woman in my Instagram stories or anywhere on social media.
Fair enough.
There's going to be a ring on that hand. No.
Well, but kind of.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Not an aura ring. No.
No, that's fair enough.
No, I'm really thoughtful now with like, usually when you see someone on social media, in my stories or anywhere, it's like, I'm not dating that person. Otherwise, she wouldn't be there.
Exactly. I get that.
Because the aftermath of the last time was... people ask me like forever. The other day I met I was on a flight and the stewardess recognized me and she comes over to me and she says like, oh my gosh, Axel, I've been following you for years. This is so amazing. How's Mari?
Oh my gosh. And you're just like, no.
I'm like, listen, you've been following me for a couple of years and you didn't get that we're not together anymore. But she was cute. She was really nice. She gave me, you know, sandwiches and stuff for free.
Oh,
I'm like,
that.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. So anyways, back to that thing. I know that if I want to commit to someone, I commit. Like, yeah. I want that. I know what I want.
I know what I want.
I know what I want to create. And, you know, sometimes you love someone, but it's clearly not working out or timing is not right. And that's painful. But I rather face the pain and sit with the pain than be somewhere just because it's comfortable. Time is so precious. And
I feel that because that was me this past year.
And I'm not willing to do that. That's my standard that I have for someone. And then having friends reminding me, Axel, you deserve someone who says, I want you.
Yeah,
and then I can check in with myself. You know, maybe there's a situation that's maybe slightly different, but I felt that, like, that is right now what feels right for me. I believe there's somewhere out there, there is someone who is as passionate about me in terms of, you know, building things, of having an impact, of doing non-profit, and someone who's also just like, hey, I want to build a life with you.
Yeah. Damn, green flag.
That's a big 100%. Green flag.
100%.
I don't know where this is going, but
I thought
we're going to have some surface green flags. Likes pop music, likes Taylor Swift.
I mean, like, mutual music taste is a bonus for sure.
Yeah, but I gave up. I mean, I'm a man who... I'm a big Swiftie. I don't expect anybody to.
Oh, you're a Swiftie.
You didn't know that.
I wouldn't call
myself a Swiftie, but I love her. Like, I appreciate her as an artist so much.
Damn.
I love it when people say Taylor Swift can't sing, and then like.
Wait, what? Excuse me.
No, that's all over social media. I'm like, listen. First of all, you don't know shit about music. You can't sing. You probably don't play a single instrument. And B, have a bit of respect.
Like that.
Have a bit of respect. That woman is
she's so crushing it. Like,
hardworking.
Her performance. See her performance on stage. Okay. I'm with you.
Green flags for me would be, I should have thought about this. Green flags. A green flag would be someone who can communicate without blaming and invading. Someone who can have thoughtful disagreement.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Not you are wrong, you did this wrong, you made me feel. Coming together and working as a team. That'd be a big green flag
team.
For me.
Team, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say something controversial here. Green flag for me when I hear someone who does therapy.
Oh, yeah.
You have a therapist? Very sexy.
Very sexy. A coach, a mentor, an expander, anyone who helps you heal and get your shit together. Damn. Yeah.
That, because I don't want picture perfect, but I want someone who works.
On themselves.
On themselves.
Ooh. That being said, green flag, also mutual values and visions in life. We didn't say that before, but we kind of did, but we indirectly said it. So let's like actually put a name on it. Like, yeah, like having mutual values in the sense that you just said you value growth and like someone healing and being devoted to their healing. 100%. If someone's not, can't do that. Like, can't do that. Like, you can't be with someone where you're like, oh, I'm so devoted to myself, my healing, being by my best self, being my best, like, being the best partner I can possibly be, but also, like, just being the best human I can possibly be. And then someone being like, oh, I don't really care. It's like, you can't, it just won't work, right? Because, like, you're progressing, you're evolving, you're transforming, you're healing, and they're not, they're stagnating. It's like, growth is like, and like self-growth, but like also growth in general, I guess, like growing something, creating something, like that's such a huge value. And if you don't, if someone doesn't have the same devotion and drive and commitment to being that themselves and embodying that, it's like, well, that's not going to work out long-term at least, because at some point you'll be here and they'll be somewhere else. And then you haven't grown into the same direction. So growth, like mutual values and visions for life. You mentioned, oh, nonprofit and this and that. And I fucking love that. And again, if someone is like, oh, I don't give a shit. Like, you have to have similar or like ideally overlapping values and visions. Not all of them necessarily, but a lot of them.
Well, yeah, if you want to have kids, like you right. really know you want to have kids, and the right. other person is like,
absolutely,
I am 100% sure I don't want to have kids.
Exactly.
I'm not willing to change in that.
Totally.
Okay. Well.
Right, but then it's not like no compatibility, right? Like that's why, like when you have a lack of mutual visions and values, lack of compatibility, it's not going to work on long term. Maybe short term, but not long term. So yeah, I'm with you.
Self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Someone who's taking care of themselves too.
Oh yeah,
that one is huge. Someone who can like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, they care for themselves because they have self-respect and they know what's good for them. Again, they're like, you don't want to be.
Oh, that's a big green flag for me.
A big green flag.
When I hear someone who is, you know, meditating or like open for breath work.
It's fucking sexy, yeah.
I love that. I love when someone is taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Communication styles, we said before, but also what you just said, showing up in a certain way in conflict, and I so agree. Like, conflict style. Is someone able to be uncomfortable having a disagreement, a conflict? Not a fight, but like a conflict.
Yeah.
In the way that they are able to, like, have their ego in check when they're communicating with you, feeling offended, feeling maybe all the whatever they are feeling, like that's so legitimate. And can they still be loving and respectful towards you, or are they lashing out? Are they making you wrong, playing the blame game, all the things? Like, I think this is a huge one, is communication style and conflict style. I wish I would have known sooner.
Yeah, how do you fight?
Right, how do you fight? How do you communicate when you're fucking disagreeing with someone, you're mad and you're angry?
Thoughtful disagreement. How can you have thoughtful disagreements?
Yeah.
Can you come together? And
most people can't,
even
literally.
If you disagree with the other person,
right.
Can you try to understand?
Yeah.
And can you work together?
As a team. Again, team vibes. Green flag. Like, team vibes gives me the biggest green flag. We're a team. It's not you against me. It's us against the quote-unquote problem or challenge, whatever we're facing. Yeah. It's us against that and figuring it out together. It's like, it just brings this, like, playfulness in the sense of, well, you're connecting whilst you're disagreeing. And I think that is a huge one. And also something that I learned is like when you're having, this is like a little tip, when you're having a disagreement with anyone really you care about, it doesn't have to be like a partner or someone you're dating, anyone, is still having physical touch. So like having like your hand on their leg or like something like that. Honestly, for me, I've tried that in the past. And I've been like, yeah, you feel so much more connected, even though like, maybe mentally you're disagreeing about something, you're still connected, you're still physically, for me, physical touch is the love language anyways. So like, for me, it's like important to still be connected in some way. So like, how can you create connection whilst feeling there is a certain level at least of disconnect because of a conflict or a disagreement? I think that's so beautiful to have.
My best, like, I see how that might work for people.
Oh, some people can't have the
touch. Like, if you would touch me and I'm angry, I'll probably you're not gonna touch me.
Okay, that's fair enough. But that's a boundary.
My best tip would be, like, something that really worked for me, to not create drama or say things you will never be able to take back, when you feel it gets heated, when you feel you're triggered,
remove yourself. Yeah.
Respectfully leave the situation.
I like that. Respectfully leave it. Yeah.
Agree on a time when you come back together.
Oh yeah, that's great.
When you feel ready, when you feel calm. Regulated. Because otherwise, literally when you're triggered, your brain changes.
Yeah, fight or flight.
Your prefrontal cortex, you can touch it here. Rational decision making is gone. Decreased. Yeah, you can also say it's gone.
It's
fucking
gone. Yeah. Your amygdala, blacking out.
It's emotional response. Yeah. It's all about emotions. That's why you do things usually, like, you get very emotional. In that moment, you won't be able to have empathy with the other person.
I mean, if it's that intense,
fight,
for sure.
Flight, or freeze.
That is true.
Done. So how about you respectfully leave the situation, you come back once you calm down, once you have your beautiful prefrontal cortex working again, and then you look at the challenge and then you go, you know, find a solution for it.
Yeah, my ex was actually like that. He needed space. I needed closeness. Like, it's usually like that. Women in situations of like a disagreement, women need closeness. Not always. I'm not saying
it depends on the attachment style.
It depends on the attachment style, right? But usually for me, I was definitely more anxiously attached, so I was needing closeness, and he was more avoidant. I mean, this developed with time, like in the middle of our relationship somewhere, like it just went that way, and he was more avoidant, so like he needed space. And when I figured that out, because he told me, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then it worked. Then we had like way better conflicts or like ways of going about it, because when he would leave, like literally leave the house, I would get into fight or flight, like like I was so triggered, because in my mind, it was like, what if I'm losing him now, right? Because of what happened with my dad.
Good, so, really good point.
Really good reason.
You have to communicate this
rule. And I needed to, when he didn't understand how I was so freaking out about it. I was like, you can't go, no, you can't leave now. Because for me, it was like life or death kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you have to establish this rule.
Totally.
When you are in a good state. Exactly. When you are good together, like, hey, babe, listen, if it ever happens that we fight, can we please just respectfully take 20, 30 minutes?
Love it.
Calm down and then come together, because otherwise we don't find a solution.
Right. And there's also people who are like, no, I actually can't talk to you anymore. Like, I need like at least an hour, 2 hours, a day apart. I'm the kind of person, I can go to sleep knowing we haven't resolved this. There's a lot of people who can do that. And so I think definitely when you're dating someone, you're getting to know them, ask them like, how would you feel about going to sleep, not having resolved something? Because for me, like, Max was fine with that. I was absolutely not. And so, again, also they're, like, checking the compatibility, right? Because for me, it was, like, a non-negotiable to resolve things before sleep. For him, it was fine to, like, not. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's, like, really, really important to check compatibility there as well.
We're about to get kicked out of the studio.
I think so. Guys, this went on so long, but I love this.
I have a final question. So the podcast is called Success Leaves Clues. The vision is one day I write a book, best suggestions, best tips on health, wealth, relationships, put it into a book, give it to my kids in case I ever find a woman.
Huh?
In case I ever find a woman to have kids with.
Oh, in case you ever... I have no doubt. Axel, I have no doubt about that.
Send me. No, don't. Just come knock at my... No. Don't knock at my door. Don't send me anything. Anyways, imagine that works out. Or if not, I'll just give it to people. your best, you choose one category, we just have time for one category. Mm-hmm. Health, wealth, or relationships?
Relationships, baby.
Relationships. Okay, we pick relationships. The best advice, the best learning
mm-hmm.
about relationships, about being in a relationship, but maybe about ending a relationship. What would that,
sure.
What would be your 35 seconds answer?
I love that. There's so much, but I will say understand yourself. Understand your trauma, learn about yourself, learn about your triggers, learn about your needs, your boundaries, your standards, and then communicate that to your potential or current partner, because that gives them almost like a handbook of how to handle you, how to treat you, how to show up for you. They just understand you. When they understand you, they can show up so much better as a partner. So my top advice would be learn to understand every single aspect of your behavior, your patterns, and communicate that to your partner so he can handle, or like they can handle you way better.
Love that.
And vice versa.
love that. Wait, I think the camera just went out. Perfect. Well, Laura,
was that still recorded though?
No, yours is recorded.
Oh, mine is still going strong.
My
love
camera
that for
so
me.
We gotta do the outro here together. Okay, I've never done this in my life.
Perfect. Here
well,
we go.
Thank you so much for listening, for watching. Thank
Seriously.
You, Laura.
Yeah, it was a
for
pleasure.
Being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
it
you for
fun.
Being unapologetically yourself. And also, I love the vulnerability you have that you know, you're a coach, you do fantastic work, but at the same time, you're a human being and you share about your struggles.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I honestly, what I've learned from myself is that it's so important to embrace your human as a leader, as a coach, as a mentor, as a business owner. Like the number one thing that I think, like most people who are in this space and who are doing this kind of work must understand is that vulnerability like helps people relate to you, and it has like it allows you to have a bigger impact ultimately. Because like with my podcast too, like people just they're listening to episodes and they're like, I see you, I feel you, and I've learned so much more because of the stories you've told, because of the humanness that you've shared. So I love doing that for that reason, because if it helps one person, it was worth being fucking vulnerable and embarrassing myself, if you will, because I'm like, well, it's relatable after all. Like I don't feel shame for being a human being going through experiences. So why not?
I would say it makes you even a better coach.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so too, actually.
The people I look up to, those are all people who went through, you know, who are not perfect, who went through stuff, and who shared about it
and who came out even stronger. Because like it's not just about like what you're going through, but how you're integrating it and how you're then embodying what you learn. And for me lately, I've been feeling like so much more embodied in my teachings. I'm like, yeah, like I'm living it. I'm not just talking about it because I rationally know about it and I've understood it. It's like, no, I'm living it and I'm breathing it because I've taken the time to integrate what I've learned, and I've integrated the learnings from the challenges I've been through in any aspect of my life recently and in the past couple of years, really. So I think that's powerful.
There are a million ways of getting or like to work with you if
there is. There's not a million, but there's a few.
I'll put them all in the description box
cool.
below. Laura, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. It was fun.
Right. And thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And it literally looks like we're the same. Can we just stand up for
a
second? Look at this. That's hilarious.
Can you
see it? Literally the same thing.
Check.
I have a bit of dragon fruit on my pants.
Oh, good.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening, watching, and
tuning in. Receiving the goods.
Ciao.
Ciao.
This podcast is relatively young, and if you want to support our mission to give you access to the most extraordinary minds, to the most helpful success recipes, well, then you can do something that takes about 3.5 seconds, which is to subscribe to this podcast. Gives us the ability to, give you access to the most amazing guests. So just click on that button. Helps a lot. Takes 3.5 seconds. Thank you so much. And I'll see you later.